Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Touchline Podcast. You've joined us for episode 21, the Aaron Mond episode, and also the Louis Skills Old Number Memorial episode, since he's number 10 now, but he used to be 21 for us.
I have a practice jersey of Louis's somewhere that's number 21.
Yeah, well, he was number 21 for like, what, 5 years?
Ever since he was like 4 years old. And we signed him.
Yeah, we signed him, you know, got him in the draft for four as 4 year old. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm Rich. How's it going, everybody? Got Brett here.
What's up?
You already chimed in. You jumped the gun. You're not supposed to chime in until I introduce you.
Sorry. I'll go back to the corner.
Wait, do we have to start the thing over?
No, we're good.
All right. Well, today we're going to talk about the game that was on Sunday against Colorado Rapids. And we're going to talk about the upcoming game. There's no MLS game this week, but we have an Open Cup game next week against the Seattle Sounders 2, their USL side, kind of like our Monarchs team. And I know everyone's been looking forward to this, but we'll touch on our Mount Rushmore of hate for RSL. And talk about maybe what the team needs to do going forward to start getting points. So, we had a Sunday game this past week against Colorado. Rocky Mountain Cup, first leg. Final score 0-0. So, with H came away with a point. I think that RSL probably deserved a win in that game. I don't think Colorado really did much of anything. Even though they had a penalty there at the end, which was a penalty, you would agree?
Yep, penalty.
Penalty. I don't know what we can do. What do we need to do to stop giving up penalties? That's 5 in 7 games, I think.
Pay the refs, man.
We just need to have our center backs stop making silly decisions.
We need to like start the same center backs for like 3 games straight. That would be awesome.
That may help as well, yeah. Give them some experience for sure.
Maybe a little helpful.
I don't know if we want to jump into this right now, but for the Open Cup game, I mean, it's a good thing we have a couple weeks off because we only have one center back right now.
Yep.
Schuler's hurt. Olave got hurt. Vasquez is off on national duty for Guatemala. That leaves us with Aaron Mond. So maybe we'll play 3 in the back.
You know, we did that once, and we actually looked pretty good at it.
But I don't know if you want the one center back to be Aaron Mond.
No, I want it to be Justin Glad.
Ooh, we can go with Beltran, Glad, Mansali back line. Oh, but Mansali's gone too. When's he coming back? Do we know when all these guys? Because Phillips gone too, right?
Yeah,
I think for Jamaica.
Let's just say he hasn't. He's been gone more than he's been here.
Yeah, I don't know how long this international break goes for. I mean, the U.S. national team, they play tomorrow. Is it tomorrow? Friday.
Yeah. What is today? Yeah, they play Germany.
What day did they play them? Not Friday. The Women's World Cup game is on Friday. So they must play Germany tomorrow.
It would be Thursday. Yeah, Wednesday. They play Wednesday.
Yeah. So Wednesday, the U.S. national team, and then they're done, and Beckerman will come back. So he'll be here for the U.S. Open Cup game. Mm-hmm. But a bunch of other guys like Vasquez, Mansali, Sabarillo, those guys all just left, so, and I'm not sure how long the international break is for them.
I know Mansali's out playing in the 2017 African Cup of Nations qualifying, and from the looks of it, he will be gone for...
This is great radio. Internet switching. One game?
Nope. Yeah, one game.
Just the Open Cup game?
He'll be gone June 13th is when he'll play. And they'll play South Africa. And then all his the rest of his games after that won't be until 2016.
Man, that's a long flight just for one game.
Yeah.
He may be worthless on the 16th if he flies back.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he
won't be here.
So kind of got off track a little bit, but let's go back to the Colorado game for a second. I thought that, you know, against Colorado, we did create some good chances. You know, Sabo had a bunch of headers that normally he at least gets on frame. One that I thought for sure he would normally score that he just missed. And, you know, the Plata, Jaime, Sabo thing, you know, started to get some legs. Jaime and Plata, I thought, started to look like soccer players. And after, you know, being off for so long. They said on the on-frame this week, Dunny talked to Bobby Burling after the game. I guess they're friends. And he was just commenting how hard it is to have Plata on the field and keep track of where he's at and guard him and how quick he is and stuff. So, you know, that's always fun for other defenders to comment like that.
Yeah. You could see a difference in the team with Plata on the field. Usually in the past, teams have kind of just had to shut down Sabo and just stay on Sabo and kind of make Garcia or Jaime beat him. And now with Plata, you could kind of tell that they were a little bit more drawn into that bunker mentality only because they needed to keep Plata and Sabo both in front of them.
Right. Yeah. And I thought Jaime had a lot of good plays, touches, passes. You know, there were a couple times he shot where he probably should have passed. I still think that he's maybe trying too hard to get a goal sometimes, but you want him as a striker to be selfish, so you can't have him just always looking to pass because then he'll never score. So. I thought he did all right. Hopefully the knock that he got during the game isn't too serious. They said he was limping a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, he was looking really good. You could kind of tell that he was going to put it together that night.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just too bad that, you know, we couldn't end up getting any shots on frame. We had something like 15 shots and one on frame. So, you know, there is still obviously lots of work to do. The RSL team just overall just isn't playing like we're used to.
Mm-hmm.
I think you would agree.
Yep.
And, you know, they have a lot of work to do, especially finishing and trying to figure out exactly, you know, when they want to play possession, when they want to counterattack, when they want to go fast, when they want to go slow. You know, when they want runners, extra runners to come, and when they don't. Seems like they still aren't quite sure. You know, when to do what, so.
Yep. Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, like I've been saying, you can't really hate on this team because they you gotta first get everybody healthy and on the same continent to begin with, and now you're starting to see it come together, and I think the top three played, well, even top four, because I'm going to throw Javier in there, played really well together. I'd like to see it with Gill and Beckerman there. I don't like the idea of having to use two guys to replace one.
Right. You know, I guess one nice thing is Javi will be around. He's not going to get called off to go anywhere, so he'll be around.
Him and Messi could tear it up, though, in Argentina.
That's right.
Maybe we do send him there, and he brings us Messi back.
I will come on one condition. I come back with Messi.
Yeah, see, it works for us.
He has a ransom. That would be fun, but that's not happening. So Plata may or may not go to Copa America. I guess we'll see what the Ecuadorian coach decides, you know, if he decides to call him in after his broken foot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Ecuador's released their Copa America lineup or roster yet. Maybe you can Google that while we're talking.
I'm on it.
But Sabo will probably be gone for a bunch of it, and then Jaime, he'll be around. Mulholland will be around. I don't know if that's good or bad for, you know, different people have different opinions of him. Some people are kind of are thinking he's more like Johnny Steele than Ned Grabovoy, which, you know, he probably is, but hopefully we just have some defenders, because we're definitely short on that.
Just throw everybody in offensive position and say screw it.
Maybe we could play like a 1-6-3 or something.
And the one being, the one's obviously Raimondo.
We'll have Antonella in goal and Raimondo playing the sweeper.
Playing, yeah, he's got this.
Yeah.
Expect Ecuador's roster here in the next couple days.
Okay.
Well, everybody else been releasing theirs here in the last few days, and so. Oh wait, never mind. They have released it, and Plata's not on it. So I guess the injury did kind of scare him away.
Well, that's good for us.
Yeah.
So certainly, I think we're all disappointed that we got another home draw. We can't keep getting home draws. I think we only have one win at home. That's, you know, frustrating. At least, I mean, we're not losing, but in some aspects, I think, at least for me, I don't know other fans' opinions, but I think I'd rather, like in that game, you know, to totally go for it. If you end up losing 1-0, but, you know, you had three or four strikers in because you really wanted to get those points, you know, if you end up getting 3 points, you know, two out of three times and you lose one game, I mean, you're still way ahead on points. So
yeah,
even if you win one of the three games, you're still, you know, not any behind. So
if there's a time for this team to turn it around, it's right now. Five of their next seven games are at home.
Yeah, but we're losing so many people. It's going to be so hard.
Yeah. But, you know, at least being inside the at home kind of gives those guys a boost.
Yeah.
I mean, and our away games really aren't that difficult. I mean, we'll have to travel to New York to play the Red Bulls, and then we'll have to travel to play Colorado. So they can't use the elevation against us.
Well, we'll hope for a better performance here in the Open Cup. That's who we play next, is the Sounders 2. They came in by beating Portland's USL side, the Timbers 2. So far this season in USL, pretty much the Sounders have won all their games at home, nearly, almost. Won most all their games at home and then lost almost all of them on the road. So their very last result was they played against Tulsa at home, the Tulsa Roughnecks, which is a pretty sweet name. I like that, the Roughnecks.
My mom lives in Tulsa. I should probably go see those guys play.
Yeah, there you go. And they lost 5-1, I believe, at home. So they'll play again this week against LA Galaxy 2 on Thursday, and then they play us on Tuesday here. So we'll have to see kind of, you know, what their form is like. We'll also have to kind of see how the Sounders treat the Open Cup with the Sounders 2. You know, because once a player plays for a team in Open Cup, they're tied to that team. So they can't play for both Sounders 2 and the Sounders first team. So I think a lot of the MLS sides would probably be conservative with their USL teams. And, you know, if there's somebody who they think might play for them in Open Cup for the full team, then they'll probably hold them out.
Well, Rhea, when the Monarchs played, RSL didn't send any of their MLS guys. So they still have full rights to all those guys.
Yeah, like Glad and Salcedo, they didn't play. So, I mean, yeah, which is good because it looks like we might need Glad to play. So
even Lalo, they didn't even send Lalo.
Yeah. Was that the game Antonella was hurt? I mean, was that Antonella? Because I think we played like right around that same time. So I wonder if. Well, I guess it's always good to err on the side of caution, at least at the very beginning, right?
Yep.
Because now Monarchs are out and we can use those players. So if we beat Sounders 2, and they're a good team, for, you know, from what I've heard, people watching them play, you know, watching people's responses on Twitter and stuff, you know, they have some really good players and, you know, seem to play pretty well. You know, they definitely won more games than the Monarchs have.
Yep.
So it's not going to be an easy game by any means. And RSL's already had their fair share in the Open Cup of losing to lower division teams with Atlanta last year and Minnesota 3 years ago, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's soccer. Crazy things happen. Crazy. I mean, look at, like, when we went down in a few years ago and played in Mexico. In all rights, we should have won that game. But because of the weather and just crazy bounces, it was a tie or a loss.
That was that Cruz Azul game you're talking about?
Yeah.
That was 5-4, I think.
Yeah. I mean, we should have won that game, but because of, you know, funny bounces and stuff like that, that's how the game was played. So if you lose to a team like Seattle Sounders FC2, then, you know, no shame in it. It's the game of soccer. Though I think if we do beat them, they have to change their name because I'm tired of all these teams being number two.
Yeah, Seattle Sounders FC2 is kind of a long name, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, if we lose to Sounders 2 and we play like crap, I think there's going to be a lot of, you know, outcry from the fans because we haven't been playing well normally. And then if we lose to USL side, I mean, I think that will, you know, snap some people.
Yeah.
You know, if we lose kind of on a fluky goal, you'll still get a little bit of that. But, you know, if it's like a 1-0 game and, you know, we have a bunch of shots on target that just don't go in and they get one like big deflection goal or an Olave own goal, you know, like the Philly game. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, well, that happens.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it could be like the DC United Open Cup final where there's no reason we should lose to them and we do. So,
yeah, you outplay them for 90 minutes, outplay them in overtime and then just lose.
Right. Just lose. At least we have Raimondo if it ever comes to penalties. So,
yeah. Like, and every time, I think it was an Open Cup game a few years ago, I was listening to it on the radio and somebody was talking about it and they're like, well, there's 10 minutes left and Jason Christ has got one more sub left. Should he sub in Raimondo since this looks like it's going to penalties? And it's like, really? Of course you do. He doesn't,
of course,
need reps. You don't need reps. Get in there.
Yeah, and that, I guess that'll be something else to watch is I wouldn't be surprised if they did start Antonella in goal instead of Raimondo.
Mm-hmm.
To give him, I mean, Antonella is a good keeper and, you know, he needs time too. And you'll find a lot of teams around the world, when, especially in the beginning, but they'll play a lot of the kind of backups at the beginning. Or even like Aston Villa, for example, they made it all the way to the FA Cup final and they started Shane Given, I think, every single game instead of Guzan because that's who they'd been playing and they just wanted to ride that horse to the end. And then
don't blame them.
Then they got crushed.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was Given's fault. I mean, Arsenal played awesome. So, anywho, that's what we got coming up. And then after that, we have another freaking Sunday game. So, that'll be fun. All right. So, what do you want to talk about now? What do you think, I guess, what do you think that RSL needs to do specifically to start earning points? Let's kind of touch on that while we're still talking about the team.
I think it comes down to these next few games. I mean, they are home games. I mean, they're not against lower competition. I mean, you got Sporting KC and Columbus and Orlando and Houston and then Sporting again. So it's not like lower teams, but it's teams that you might be able to sneak points past. And once, if you can sneak points past them, then, you know, you can jump up the standings. I mean, standings are still pretty close together. I think their issue, as much as we want to throw it at the offense, is still the defensive side of the ball, especially that center back position. We have so many answers there, but none of them are working.
Yeah.
It's kind of mind-boggling.
Yeah, I don't know how fast Schuler will come back, and I don't know how fast he'll be able to be back to normal Schuler once he does get back. It's hard coming back from injury as a center back because it's not like you get subbed in like a midfielder or forward. You don't get 10 minutes here or there. Mm-hmm. If you aren't 90 minutes fit, then you don't play. So,
yeah. I mean, and they updated us on Sunday, and pretty much Tyson Pace, the head athletic trainer, said that Schuler is very close to returning to portions of training. I mean, right now he's just been on stationary bike, but they think he's close enough that they can put him in, you know, live game situations on during practices.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he started doing a little bit of work, but I think it'll still take him a couple weeks yet before he sees a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think, I mean, you want to say just, you know, playing together in time, you know, this team will figure it out. But the problem with these next 5 of 7 at home is you're going to have a lot of players coming in and out, I think. And so that continuity that we haven't had, we're still not going to have. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're going to be relying on players like Sandoval, who's been playing great this season. So that's good. Yeah. Elmas Garcia, who hasn't scored or assisted a goal in, I don't know, since the Black Plague was around, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's Garcia for you, though.
And, you know, if Plot is there, then that'll certainly help. I hope, in a way, that if we do lose a lot, I guess Jaime will be there too, so never mind. I was going to say, I almost hope they go to a Sandoval Plata, you know, 2-4 combo, but if you have Jaime still, then maybe they go to a Jaime Plata 2-4 thing. That would be fun to watch. Maybe that'd be cool.
Yeah, and I mean, transfer window's coming up soon, so they might bring in another striker just because they know that striker depth is going to be tested a lot over the next 2-3 months.
You know what I was thinking about that I think is pretty funny? And there have been a lot of, you know, Plata's missed almost the whole season up until now. Jaime was out for a long time. But, you know, I remember before the start of the season, you know, they were asking Kassar and Weibel and all these guys, I think even Lagerwey before he left, you know, like, you know, what do you feel about the forward core, you know, because it was so promising. And they're like, you know, this is the first time, you know, we've been satisfied with our striker core, and then we don't score any goals. So obviously a lot of it has been mitigated by some injuries and different things, but to just not have any of them perform really is kind of sad.
Yeah. But I don't know. I think a lot of it's going to have to come down to if we do anything in the summer transfer window, or if we're just going to be content with what we have and just going forward and hoping it works. Back with the Diamond, we used to be able to just plug the players. We'd go get the type of player that would work in there and just plug them. Now it's, you got to kind of have the right guys that are going to do it.
Yeah. RSL in the past hasn't really done much in the summer transfer window. I don't think, I mean, we brought in Jaime last year. I can't remember us making a lot of moves typically. And normally, you know, the summer moves they don't really catch on. I mean, Jaime didn't, you know, catch on very well. Dempsey didn't catch on well when he came in the middle of the year. You know, I think we'll probably see similar things when Lampard and Gerrard come in, that, you know, it just takes a while to get used to everything.
Yeah.
So even if we do make a summer transfer, unless it's a trade with another MLS team, like say we go and pick up, heck, I don't know, like Dom Dwyer or somebody, right? Yeah. Or Robbie Keane. Not that that would ever happen, but, you know, just a for instance. You pick up somebody who's already been in MLS, you know, then for sure, you know, that would help. But if you bring in somebody from, you know, overseas, especially someone who's not in season right now,
yeah,
then, you know, it's hard to see them making a big impact.
You know who would actually be kind of a fun player to see?
Who's
I
that?
mean, I doubt he ever comes here, but knowing what his relationship is with Manchester United and the fact that he said he wants to play in Europe, and if nobody in Europe kind of wants him that he likes, that he considered coming to MLS, but Chicharito.
Chicharito.
It'd be fun.
I don't know how I'd feel about that.
Who cares? Let's get him. I mean, we'd have to bring him in as a DP is the only issue.
Well, he would make, like, I mean, he would be making, like, Giovinco-level money, I'm sure. Just crazy Monopoly-level money.
Yeah. Call him on and tell me he owes us.
I do think, though, that it would be good if Chicharito came to MLS. I just don't think I want him for RSL.
Yeah. Well, the rumor is that LAFC in 2018 wants to sign him to start that year. So
That would be huge for them.
Yeah. I mean, and you have, like, Pirlo coming to NYCFC.
I hope that doesn't happen. Can I just go on record? Pirlo is awesome and, you know, it's a great career, great player, but you don't need another midfielder, you know, 40-year-old DP. That's not what NYCFC needs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if that's the decision they make, then they got problems in their front office, because that's not what your team needs right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, there another team guy that's been linked to MLS is Ronaldinho, the Brazilian.
Who?
Yeah, it's been that long since he's played for Brazil.
Ronaldinho?
Yep.
Oh, that. Sorry.
That one. There were like four of them at the same time that were running together.
I thought you said something else, and I was like, who? Yeah. Did you hear the funny quote from the team he's on now is Querétaro, right? Mm-hmm. Querétaro. I don't know where the emphasis is, but I don't know if it was the coach or the GM or whoever, but he said, "I hope he's not with our team next season because we need players who are on the way up and not on the way down."
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, snap.
I'd take him for like a year or two and let him and Javi just wreck a midfield together.
You wonder kind of how fit is he, though? I mean, he wasn't starting games for them. I guess he wasn't playing 90 minutes for them every game, so.
It's all right. He doesn't need to play 90 minutes. I'll sub him in and out.
If you were bringing him in as a DP, though, you kind of need him to be all the time guy, not a every other game guy.
Well, he'd be a DP only in the sense of because of name only. I mean, since 2014, he's only made 23 appearances, but he has 8 goals in that time.
Hmm.
So it's one of those, he's not going to play a whole lot, but he gives you quality.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's a great player.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think like Pirlo, just too old. Maybe we can convince Hant Deloitte to bring in Pogba. Any chance of that? We can beat out Real Madrid for Pogba from Juventus.
Yeah, we can get in a bidding war with them.
I think we could totally do that.
Don and Deloitte Hansen to help us out, but
yeah. Maybe MLS would help us out. Make a special rule. All right, so enough of that. RSLs, we're struggling. We need someone to decide to get into form. And we need somebody to get some confidence in the final third and start doing some magic. That's what we need. All right, so last but not least, I think, let's talk about our Mount Rushmore of hate. Everyone's been waiting for this. I know people have just been on the edge of their seats since we teased it last week, and they've been checking, you know, the podcast app every day to see if we posted a new one to see who we hate the most. They've been clicking it so much that nobody else gave us their suggestions.
That's how we got the whole 10 viewers.
We're up to double digits. It's amazing.
awesome.
Mm-hmm. I think like 9 of those were me, but, you know.
All good. I'll take it.
Hopefully the last one wasn't you.
It was my mother.
Well, hi, Mom. So if we were to pick Mount Rushmore, you know, it's got the presidents on it, whatnot. You know, if we were to pick 4 people to replace them with and represent, each face was a face of someone that, or an entity that we just makes our blood curdle when we think of it. Let's do it one at a time from, I guess, least hated to most hated. Can you do that?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay, let's start out. You go first of your least hated.
My
least of the most.
Least hated. And the only reason I'm going to put him here is, and it's more than just him, it's his position, but he's the one that gets the blame for it all because he's the one that's usually doing it to us. And the only reason he's at the bottom also is because he controls so much of the game that I also kind of feel that you don't let this guy control the game. And that would be Ted Uncle and all of his reffing buddies.
So you got pro, specifically Ted Uncle, on as your number 4.
Yep. That's what I'm going with.
He does have kind of a bad reputation here for not having reffed hardly any games in MLS, but he gave us a big steaming pile of cow dung when he was here.
Yes.
So, I don't know. This year we've had a bunch of games where the ref officiating has just been unacceptable, inconsistent. You know, I thought Kevin Stott actually did a pretty good job. I thought, what's his face from the week before? He did a pretty good job except for his time management. You know, I mean, we've had some good games, but refs always, they get cursed at.
Yep.
All right, for me, my number 4 is not a player from MLS, but a player that we played against. Mm-hmm. And it's from our Champions League run when we made it to the final. And he still makes me want to punch the TV every time I'm watching Liga MX. The one and only Humberto Suazo.
That's awesome.
Who scored the goal that killed us.
He scored 2 of them that killed us because he also scored in the 2-2 game.
Well, that's true, but specifically the one here. But every time I see him on TV, I just want to smash stuff. So he's my number 4.
Yeah.
He's got that like Connor Casey face, you know? Yeah. That would have been another good one. Connor Casey is a runner-up for me on players that I just can't stand, but he's the same type of person for those of you who have joined the game late and don't know who this Suazo fellow is.
Yeah. And that's actually funny because he was my number 3 was actually going to be Monterey, but I was going to singly call out Suazo also.
That is awesome.
But it's so long ago that I'm kind of like water under the bridge.
No, even now, like if I watch them play, I'm like, oh, I hope they all break their legs.
Yeah. All right. Well.
So. Okay, number 3 for you.
Suazo.
Oh, you kept Suazo.
I kept Suazo.
Oh, I thought you said you were going to put him there and then you didn't.
No, that's why I decided to go with.
Okay. Yeah, that's awesome.
If it makes you feel any better, they only took 5th in the Club World Cup.
That actually doesn't, because I want CONCACAF to not look like retards when we go there.
Yeah, we want to take on Barcelona and get clubbed 4-0.
Well, at least be respectable. Don't lose to the Middle Eastern teams or whatever.
They lost to Japan.
Well, Japan, the Japan team gets in because they're hosting, so
yep.
That's stupid too.
And so they went to Monterey. Monterey turned around and played a team out of Tunisia and barely beat them.
All right, well, my number 3, I think he's also on your list. I think he's probably higher up along with the organization. The two go together like sliced bread and stuff you put on sliced bread.
Mm-hmm.
Although unfortunately, he's been taken off the team, is Aurelien Collin and FUKC.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully. I'm not. Yeah, go ahead.
No, you please.
I was going to say he's not number two for me, but he is on the list. And it's one of those where it's, you know, we should be MLS champs for a second time because he scored a goal, especially after being reckless for how many times that game, and should have been carded how many times, and they just let him keep playing and he just kept getting even worse and worse and never saw a card.
Just when I've watched him play for Orlando, and that's who he plays for now. And I get bothered a little bit, but not nearly as much as when he was on Kansas City. And he just kind of represented that whole culture. Him and Peter Vermes, like Peter Vermes reminds me of Bobby Knight, the Indiana basketball coach, where everyone's like, oh, he's a great coach. But I just picture him like chucking chairs and choking players and like, I don't know, belittling them, kind of like a Rick Majerus type for, you know, the Utah basketball fans. Like, is someone going to write a book later where you find out that he's just a terrible person? I don't know, but that's just the impression I get when I watch him, and just, I don't know. Anyway, so FUKC.
Yeah. And actually that entire team as a whole come in at number two for me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, years leading into that game and years after that game, anytime, like RSL, I'll admit it, they love to play physical. They love to go in there and just kind of push their weight around and see who's going to push back. And they are that team that just, they want to push back. And so whenever them and RSL get in fights, it usually leads into something like RSL losing Beckerman for the next game because Beckerman decided he was just going to go take somebody out.
Yeah, it always seems like we're the ones who end up on the short end of the stick for whatever reason. I don't know. You know, we're getting two yellows or, I don't know. You know, we lose the game because KC doesn't get a player sent off. I mean, if you think about it, the other time we played them that year, we went to Cup, Aiko Parra should have got sent off as well, right before he scores the game winner. And then, you know, the ref gives him an extra couple minutes of stoppage time, and plus all the other shenanigans that game. That was the game I think Winger got the red card for two yellows. And then Kai Kamara comes over to the fans, and, you know, people are chucking bottles and crap at him, and he's egging them on. And
yeah,
we play that preseason game, and I think it was Espinoza tries to break our players' legs, and so Christ is like, screw it, we're walking off the field.
Yeah, and there's, I mean, like even leading into the game, they asked Dom Dwyer, what do you think of RSL? I hate them. I mean, it's just, that's the mentality they have.
Yeah.
They just hate us, and so we hate them. And let's be honest, Colorado, as fun as you are, Seattle, I mean, Kansas City's our rival.
I don't know if they're our rival, but I would say they're the team that I hate the most. Well, they certainly might turn into a rival because before we were only playing them once a year.
Yep.
But now we're playing them three times, and blood will be spilt. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's hurry in. We'll keep going here. My number two is FC Dallas striker Blas Perez. I hate that guy, and he represents pretty much everything that is bad about Central American soccer, with all the shenanigans and diving and then, you know, play acting about fouls happening or not happening and getting, you know, he pulls the Tim Duncan face of like when he gets a foul called on him or not, you know, like, I can't believe this injustice would happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, earlier in the year he got, I think it was a red card, and the FC Dallas blogger was like, you know, it didn't seem that he really did anything. And I said, well, it's Blas. And then they showed a different angle where he totally like hit a guy or something. I don't remember what it was, but the guy was like, oh, right. So.
Yeah. And still, he'd probably still try to defend him.
Yeah. It's just Blas being Blas. So, you know, he never gets the benefit of the doubt because he's burned the bridge so many times, but he drives me crazy. It was awesome when he got sent off last season and Schuler gave him the, you know, kissy face.
Yep.
Remember that?
Yep.
That was amazing.
So, yeah, and so
number all right, one. All right, tell me your number
Collins.
One.
Collins. Hate you, Colin. You deserve that red card.
Oh, man. He is a special person.
He is the only person that you could put on any team, and I will instantly hate that team. Like, I have no desire to really watch Orlando. I mean, they got Kaká, who's, like, a brilliant Brazilian playmaker, and I just have no interest because I know Colin's there. That's what Colin does to me.
Luckily, we don't, I guess once we're playing them on the 4th of July, I think. So yep. Hopefully for my blood pressure's sake, he doesn't do anything Colin-ish to create us a throwing bottle scenario before fireworks.
Oh, he will. Such give him dark, time. Such dark.
One thing before I give my number one, I was talking with my brother-in-law about this, and we both agreed that if we were on any other team, I think Beckerman would probably make everybody's list. I bet Beckerman is the player that although I think it might be toned down a little bit now that he plays a lot for the national team. Mm-hmm. I think people's hatred might have waned slightly, but I can almost guarantee you that on almost anybody else's list, Beckerman would be up at the top. Sorry, RSL fans. But he talks a lot of trash. Anyway, so my number one is Seattle Sounders, counterpart to Beckerman, Ozzie Alonso. He is my most hated person in MLS. I can't stand him. He's pretty much exactly like Beckerman. He just doesn't play for us. So I hate him.
Mm-hmm.
He gets away with so much crap. Him and Chara. Chara was another honorable mention for the Timbers.
Yeah.
They just get away with so much crap, you know, fouls and whatnot. Anyway. So that, there you go.
Yeah, I agree. Only on the, it's probably the same thing. We hate him because he does the things that Beckerman does to other teams.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
Just be glad Beckerman's United States property and not like Mexico, because there are probably about 12 games a year when I just hate Beckerman.
Right. Can you imagine? I would have a hard time, you know, when Carlos Salcedo was suiting up for Mexico. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, those are our top four, you know, hated people for RSL. If you guys have any people that you would rather us put up there that you would replace, tell us who you'd take off and who you'd add or who your list is. Love to hear from you. Hopefully it doesn't make your blood boil while you're at work or whatever listening to this so you can't focus on work anymore. And you start smashing things and destroying your computer or whatever.
And if you do, you're welcome.
Yeah, we're not responsible for any actions resulting from you thinking about who you don't like in a MLS. Mm-hmm. We appreciate you guys listening. Any other things you want to talk about before we end this smorgasbord of awesomeness?
If you happen to hear this before 4 o'clock on the 10th of June, the Real Monarchs is playing the Academy, and it's at Rio Tinto, and it is free. So, free soccer. Go watch.
Well, get on Alan to get this thing posted.
Yeah.
Text him right now and say, get on it.
I'm about to. He'll love me here in about 2 minutes.
All right. This thing better post first thing in the morning.
I'm all after.
All right. Well, thanks, guys, for listening again. Episode 21, Touchline Podcast. You can get me at @Frisbee_Rich.
And I'm at Twitter. I'm at @A24Brett or at @Touchline_TBS.
Appreciate any of you guys listening, especially Brett's mom.
And I don't know if she actually listens.
I appreciate me for listening.
And, I don't even know if she knows I have a podcast, let's be honest.
Yeah, well, I don't know. She told me the other day that she, I'm just kidding. that was bad to throw in at the end.
Yeah.
So, yeah, appreciate you guys. Peace out, yo. See you next time.
Later.